Appreciate Jim leading that song. I asked him to lead that song because of the subject of our lesson this morning from Isaiah, the book of Isaiah. I hope you have your Bibles with you and that you'll open them to Isaiah chapters 7 through 12. I know that seems like a large portion of Scripture. We're not going to read all that, but we are going to be talking about Emmanuel prophecies from this particular section of Scripture. And there are several of them. And this section of Scripture was given in a time of tremendous tumult for the nation of Judah. And they were under siege by some enemy forces. And Isaiah is prophesying on God's behalf and telling the people of that day and time that, look, God is going to take care of you. He is with us. And he wants you to understand that he is going to provide. And that was a message that they needed in that day and time. But in these prophecies of Isaiah chapter 7 through 12, we have a tremendous amount of messianic prophecy. That is, prophecy that regards who the Messiah would be. And of course, we see those prophecies fulfilled in Jesus Christ and in his lifetime. Looking at all of these prophecies that Isaiah talked about here in these chapters, Jesus fulfilled them, every single one of them. And so let's look at some of these prophecies about Jesus in Isaiah chapter 7 through 12. And we're just going to start with Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. And this, of course, should be a very familiar prophecy to you, the prophecy of the virgin birth. Isaiah 7 and verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel. The name Emmanuel is a name that we are looking at in this text here. And it's a Hebrew word that means God with us. God with us. And that's what Isaiah was trying to get across to the people of that day and time. God is with us if we will put our faith and trust in him. And Jesus is God with us. That is, we're going to see. And we need to put our faith and trust in him. Now, Isaiah's prophecies concern this figure, this Emmanuel, that he is talking about here in this and in some other passages in these chapters also. Judah, as we mentioned, was a nation beset by enemies. These enemies were Samaria from the north and Damascus. And those were the capitals of two different nations, the nation of Syria and the northern kingdoms of Israel. And you see, Syria and Israel, the northern kingdoms, had banded together and they were attacking the southern kingdom of Judah at this time. And Ahaz, the king of Judah, was very concerned about this situation. And Ahaz wanted to ask Assyria. That's a different nation, all right? So you've got Syria, which is just north and to the east of Israel, and the northern kingdom of Israel banding together, attacking Judah, who's in the southern part. And so Ahaz and Assyria is way on the other side of the Tigris and Euphrates River, far away in the northeast. And so he asked the king of Assyria to come down and help. And Isaiah says, that is a mistake. You should not be asking Assyria to help. You should be asking God to help, because God is with us. And so what Isaiah is pointing out to Ahaz and to the kingdom of Judah in the south is that God is with us. And he wanted them to trust in the Lord instead of in Assyria. Look at Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 13. The Lord of hosts, him you shall hallow. Let him be your fear and let him be your dread. So you see that verse right there in Isaiah 8 and verse 13. Isaiah is telling Ahaz, trust God to save you. Don't trust in a man. Don't trust in some other country. Trust God. Now, these prophecies extend through Isaiah chapter 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12. And there's a lot of material there. We don't have time to discuss all that this morning, but what we do want to discuss are the prophecies that relate to Jesus. And you see, because this is God who is working with Judah. And God in the Old Testament is God of the New Testament as well. And who is that? It's Jesus in his pre-incarnate form before he became flesh. He is here working with them. And so he is prophesying through Isaiah to Judah of who he is going to be when he arrives in the flesh. God with us, Emmanuel. So first of all, as we think about these Emmanuel prophecies, we think about Jesus being Emmanuel. And why should they trust in God? Well, God is revealing his Messiah to them. First of all, Emmanuel is born of a virgin. And we just noticed that in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Well, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, this prophecy did not come true until Jesus was actually born on the earth. We see that in Matthew chapter 1 and verses 22 and 23. And there, Matthew is writing about the fulfillment of this prophecy. He said, so all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. And so some 800 years before Jesus was born, Isaiah prophesied about this sign that God was going to give, the sign of the virgin birth, and the sign that God was going to rescue Judah from their enemies. And this sign then showed that God was with his people. And today it shows us that God is with his people also. Because Jesus has come down to earth. Being God in the flesh, he was born of a virgin. And he was a little baby child. And he lived the life of a human being, just like we live our life. You see, God is with us. And it helps us to understand who Jesus is. That first of all, he is the Son of God. But he is also the Son of Man. And being the Son of God and the Son of Man helps us to understand that he is relatable to us. Jesus, the Son of God. God with us. The fulfillment of the prophecy, Isaiah 7 and verse 14. But then another prophecy that's made in Isaiah 8 and verse 14. And this prophecy was that he would be a stone of stumbling. Now notice these prophecies. Chapter 7, chapter 8, chapter 9, and we'll see that these prophecies happen one after another here in Isaiah 7 through 12. A stone of stumbling. Isaiah 8, verse 14. He will be as a sanctuary, but a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel as a trap and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. How was this the case? Well, Peter explains to us how Jesus was a stone of stumbling in 1 Peter chapter 2 in verses 4 through 8, Peter says these words. He says, coming to him as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Now notice, Jesus Christ is being identified here. Therefore, Peter writes, therefore it is also contained in Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect precious. And he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, how do they regard Jesus? They regard him as the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word to which they were also appointed. So you see, Jesus is a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to those who are disobedient to him. And in that day as well, in Judah's time and Ahaz's time, God was a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Why? Because Ahaz wanted to trust in Assyria, not in God. And so to mention God with us to Ahaz became a stone of stumbling for him. And for many people today, to mention God is with us is a stone of stumbling for them. Why? Because they want to trust in man instead of God. And that's the real choice. You see, is it going to be God or is it going to be man? Who will we trust? But then another prophecy here in Isaiah, they just come one after another. In Isaiah chapter 9 and verses 1 and 2 is that Jesus would be a great light from Galilee. Look at the prophecy here in Isaiah chapter 9 and verses 1 and 2. Nevertheless, the gloom will not be upon her who is distressed, as when at first he lightly esteemed the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward more heavily oppressed her by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan in Galilee of the Gentiles. People who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. What is Isaiah saying to these people? That they're going to be delivered, you see. That a light is going to shine upon them. That those who are oppressing them would not oppress them anymore. And that was the basic message to Ahaz, is that God was going to deal with Damascus and with Samaria, who were oppressing them at the time being. God would deal with them. And so, look at this. This is God working in the time of Ahaz, and now God working in the time of Jesus also. Because when we get to the New Testament, and specifically in Matthew chapter 4, verses 12 through 16, we read these words. Now when Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he departed to Galilee. Jesus is in Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt at Capernaum, which is by the sea in the regions of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. Now this is the quote from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. By the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and upon those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. And once again, God is rising up to bring light to his people. And that's the fulfillment of the prophecy that Isaiah gives in Isaiah 9 and verses 1 and 2. And so look at these prophecies. That the Emmanuel would be what? He would be born of a virgin. He would be a stone of stumbling. He would be a great light from Galilee. But then notice the fourth one, that he would be the mighty God. And this comes from Isaiah chapter 9 and verses 6 and 7. And look, we could make a whole sermon out of Isaiah chapter, maybe two or three sermons out of Isaiah chapter 9. Verses 6 and 7, there's so much there about who Jesus is. Let's read that. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice from this time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Now there's a lot in those verses, but we want to focus on this prophecy of him being the mighty God. Because this can't be, and this also defines the rest of these prophecies that are in this text about Emmanuel. You see, this can't be just a man. This prophecy was only fulfilled by Jesus. And why is that? Because he is the mighty God. And it was prophesied by Isaiah that he would be the mighty God. And that this child that was born, this son that was given, would then deliver Judah. And God is giving assurance. I am with you. And God is giving assurance through Jesus to us today. I am with you. In fulfilling these great prophecies through him, the mighty God. Of course, we have in John 1, verses 1 and 2, John's affirmation. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Jesus demonstrated that he was God. We saw that in our Bible class this morning in Mark chapter 2, in verses 1 through 12 there, where Jesus proved that he was God by healing a paralytic man. And Jesus demonstrated that multiple times, over and over again, that he was who he claimed to be, the mighty God. What a tremendous prophecy. Jesus was God in the flesh, God with us, Emmanuel. He healed lepers, he cast out demons, he walked on water, he raised the dead. He did all of those things to show us that he was the mighty God. And so another prophecy here in these chapters fulfilled by Jesus. Isaiah also talks about him being the root of Jesse. Isaiah 11 and verses 1 through 10, we're not going to read all of those verses, but I want you to notice a few of them. Notice here, there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, who shall stand as a banner to the people, for the Gentiles shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious. Think about this great prophecy that was said concerning Jesus. Who was he? He was the root of Jesse. He was from the tribe of David, the same tribe, the tribe of Judah. And David's offspring, he was part of that kingly line of successors. Jesus was, that is. And notice all the things that are said about him in this passage. We can make several sermons on this prophecy alone. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. What Spirit? The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, counsel and might, knowledge and fear of the Lord. And we could show how Jesus displayed that great Spirit within his life. And he will stand as a banner to the people. That is a rallying point, a place where you all come together. Yes, that's Jesus. The Gentiles shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious. Not because he is still resting there, but because he rose from his resting place. So think about that prophecy and what it means. The root of Jesse. We see Paul mentioning that in Romans 15 and verses 8 through 12. He says, now I say that Jesus Christ has become a servant of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made to the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God from his mercy, as it is written. And again, Isaiah says, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, and in him the Gentiles shall hope. Tremendous prophecy fulfilled that Paul points out here in Romans chapter 15 to emphasize that Jesus is to be preached to the Gentiles. The root of Jesse, whom the Gentiles would flock to. A tremendous point regarding Jesus. And then in Isaiah chapter 12, verse 6, we see he is the Holy One of Israel. And in that day you will say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his deeds among the peoples, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, inhabitants of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in your midst. Emmanuel, God with us, in our midst. Jesus is the Holy One. Now, this prophecy we find fulfilled in the New Testament, also in Jesus Christ. And it is referenced in Luke chapter 1 and verse 35. And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. In Acts 3 and verse 14, Peter said, you denied the Holy One and the just. So Jesus is that Holy One who is in the midst of us. Emmanuel, God with us. Now these are six amazing prophecies in the Old Testament that Isaiah prophesied about Jesus and who he would be and what work he would do and how he would bring everyone together in him. And you know, we could talk about these prophecies and study them over and over again. And I would encourage you to look at Isaiah 7 through 12 in your own personal Bible study and really think about how Jesus fulfills these prophecies. It's a great study. There's a great things going on. But the overall point of this message is the same point that Isaiah was trying to get across to Judah in their day and time. God is with us. He's with us. He's with us in that one who was born of a virgin. He's with us when we are obedient to him. He's with us, giving us a great light. He is with us, the mighty God. He is with us, the root of Jesse. He is with us, the Holy One. Think about how God is with us today and how in these prophecies that God is comforting us and assuring us and letting us know that Jesus is his Son, that Jesus came to save us, and that Jesus continues to be with us even till today. And what great evidence then God has given us to believe, to give us these marvelous prophecies that occurred hundreds of years before Jesus was even born and fulfilled to the detail within his life. Tremendous and great evidence for us to believe the Bible is the Word of God, that Jesus is the Son of God, and that through him we have exactly what God says we have: salvation in his Holy Name. This morning, perhaps you would like to taste that great salvation that Jesus gives. He gives us his teaching in the New Testament that we need to hear his word and believe it. Repent of our sins, confess him as Lord, and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. And he is with us, and he blesses us over and over again. Do you need to respond to his great invitation? Do you need God with you in your life, Emmanuel? why not respond to his call this morning? While together we stand and while we sing.